One, hold the paper up. One, two, three.
You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
All right, Majority Report listeners, we have a final deal. As you know, Credo is sponsoring the show for the rest of 2013, just a couple more days. We have a final deal that ends on New Year's Eve. You will be able to get, with Credo Mobile, a free Google Nexus 5 and an up to $350 buyout credit. That means they'll give you a credit on your Credo bill for up to $350 to get you out of your own old contract, plus a free Google Nexus 5. You know all about Credo Action. They fight for progressive values. Credo Mobile gives 1% of its revenue to fund progressive nonprofits. Check it out. Go to credomobile.com, Sam, for your deal. This is only good until the end of the year, and then it all goes away. CredoMobile.com/Sam. We've got links on the front page of Majority.fm. Check it out now.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, December 24th, 2013. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live to tape in the literal but not metaphorical shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. That's right, folks. It's a best of 2013. We'll be back in early January. What do we have for you today on this day, this Christmas Eve day, wherein I am sure to have already imbibed significant amount of alcohol and as many different candied foods as you can imagine. As you know, I am off now with my in-laws, with my two children in tow. Well, frankly, probably my wife is towing me and my two children. I've just probably had some candied salad and some candied beef of some sort and candied salad and candied Jell-O mold salad, and all in celebration. What do we have for you today? Well, today is our lighter fare day, sort of the funnier times of 2013. We have a clip from our Halloween show, the Ken, Ken, and Ken show, with our interview of Tina Dupuy, or Dupuy, or Dupuy, however we pronounced it. Also, the run that we did focused on an interview with John Benjamin, the Where's Hugo run, which was provided to us by a listener. Who instigated the Where's Hugo. As you know, I sometimes do some voice work on cartoons. That's what that's all about. Also, the right-wing Mandela impression that Michael does so well, and we've included the snippets from that. Also from the Gomericans, yes, the little comedy routines we came up with on the spot about Louis Gohmert when it was revealed that he had spent his college days in the then Soviet Union. And we also close out with a story about Scott Brown, but it's just an excuse for Massachusetts natives Michael and I to do our mass holes impersonations or impressions or actually just the channeling our own inner mass holes.
To be ourselves in a certain sense.
Wait, say that again?
To be ourselves in a certain
sense.
That's
right. We let our mass flags fly.
In that episode, I also learned what a packy run is.
That's right. A packy run being a package store for all of you non-Massachusettsians. Is what we refer to in Massachusetts as what is a liquor store. But who says liquor store when you can say packy? So for those of you who are listening on freebies, that's what you'll get. And for members, of course, the bonuses continue. In particular, for members, today we got a deep archive interview with Desmond Tutu from February of 2005. So, members, you'll be getting that extra bonus, not like just the extra bonuses that we get. You know, here's the thing. I don't know what other bonuses Matt will have thrown into these different shows, but I do know that we're going to have Desmond Tutu on this. So, folks, enjoy. I hope your holidays are happy and not terribly tumultuous, but I hope most of all that you're safe. And that you are doing well. So enjoy this best of. We'll have more for you throughout the week and into the new year. And
happy holidays.
Oh, yes. Happy holidays. I am fighting the war on Christmas from inside the belly of the beast. All right, folks. Enjoy.
It's Sam Cedar launching an illegal invasion and occupation of your brain.
It's Halloween, everybody. And today on the show, we've got Matt, that soda. Careful with the soda. You've got a soda there, don't you? You could pour it on the computer. You could pour it on the computer. No, wait. Don't pour it on the computer. It could cross the internet signals and people won't get our show. It's possible they could get some other type of show, like, for instance, a conservative show. This one's a liberal. People would think that, oh, my God, what's going on? Is this some type of parody or something? But, in fact, because you spilt the soda on the computer, they would be getting some type of... like, mirror image of the show. Oh, my God, the soda's spilling!
Sorry, boss.
And we are back on the Ken, Ken, and Ken show. I'm the Deuce here with Ira and Rex on the phone. It's a pleasure to have on the program syndicated columnist Tina Duppy. She is she writes on, I guess, in a lot of papers across the country. It's a little bit scary from our perspective. Tina, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me.
It's the Deuce.
Hi, the Deuce.
Now, Tina, you had a piece called, you had one piece called Read More Than This Headline. And I went and I checked some of your other headlines. One was For Shame, For Poor Shaming. What does that mean?
That was a column about how conservatives have a tendency, instead of helping people get out of poverty, they just want to make them feel bad about themselves for being poor.
And so do you think that we should make people feel good about being poor?
I think that it's not a moral issue. I think that it is an economic issue, and the two should not be confused.
Oh, well, who said anything about morals? I mean, do you want people to be poor?
Of course I don't.
Okay, well, then why would you tell them it's good to be poor?
I'm not telling anybody it's good to be poor. I'm telling them that they should not have to feel bad. It's not because they are bad people that they are poor. The two are not the exact same thing. That there are circumstances which people are born into poverty, and different institutions that enable poverty, people to stay where they are economically, like the fact that we no longer have upward mobility.
Wait a second. Wait. Have you ever been poor?
Yes.
Was it good?
No.
Okay. I think we can agree. I don't get it. Hold on. Ira wants to say something.
Hey, Tana, I got a question for you. A story, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So back in grade school, I knew a kid. We used to call him Runny Nose Mike because his family had no heating. And there were holes in his shoe. And so anyways, I ran into him a couple years ago, and he's a rental agent at a Kurtz motor car. He's got a reasonable shirt on. He told me, he said, if you guys didn't call me Runny Nose Mike and make fun of my shoes, I would be homeless today. So what do you say to that? I think that's help, if you ask me.
So you're saying that tormenting someone as a child and making them feel bad for being poor was a motivating factor?
That's exactly right. It's motivation. Whatever happened to I know in the Muslim communist America that maybe you're interested in, motivation's a bad thing, but traditionally it's helped people in this country.
So if I'm hearing you right, schoolyard chants should be public policy of how to get people out of poverty.
See, that's the difference, is that you liberals want everything to be a policy. I don't think Ira's saying that we should have government reach into the schools and force it. It happens naturally. So what's wrong with that?
Tell me to call him Runny Nose Mike, I'll tell you that much.
Right, but when we're talking about policy, which is what my column was policy, then yes, we're talking about government policy as opposed to privatizing public shaming and as a motivating factor.
Well,
and this is actually like talking about what we can do as a nation for the people who are living. We are still the richest nation in the world. And we have 48
bingo.
People.
Okay, we're the richest nation in the world. Let me ask you a question, Tina. How many people who live in Africa have air conditioning?
I have no idea.
Right, okay. How many have it in this country?
I'm assuming you do since you asked the question.
Pardon?
I said I'm assuming you do since you asked the question.
Virtually none. Virtually none. But in this country, most people have air conditioning. So the point is that the poor people in this country, we call them poor, but they're not really poor.
No, they're really poor.
Well,
they're really poor. Their life expectancy is lower. They're living in the, they're contributing to the economy. We no longer even have the working poor. We have the working impoverished. People who are forced to be on the public dole because they're not actually able to feed themselves while they are working full time and sometimes more than full time, up to 60 hours a week.
Okay, let me ask you this. That's great, but let me ask you this: How many rich people win the lottery?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's mostly poor people.
Oh, right, because if you're rich, why would you play the lottery?
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you this, okay? In your column, on the first page of your column, you say, this is the land of opportunity. If you're not wealthy, it's because you're lazy. You also said, lack of wealth indicates lack of morality. Now, you said this. We didn't say this, but I do sort of agree with what you're saying.
Right, I said that in sarcasm. I was quoting people who say things like that, and I was using it as a literary device called irony.
Okay, there's no quotes around it.
Literary device? Is that part of Obamacare?
Yeah. I guess we're all going to be forced to use that now. But there's no quotes on there. It just says it.
Yes, because in context, it's pretty obvious.
Okay.
We didn't really read the whole thing.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then. All right. So, okay. Did you hear what Kathleen Sebelius said yesterday?
I watched some of the hearing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you think men should have to carry, be forced to pay for maternity coverage?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't believe in
men benefit from maternity coverage. Everyone has to be born.
Are they born by a man?
Have to pay for that?
Are they born by a man? What about a 32-year-old single male?
They have at one point in their life been born, correct.
So they need maternity care insurance? Okay.
Yes, they do.
Okay, and so where do you stand on Benghazi?
I think that was an unfortunate incident in a sea of unfortunate incidents.
Oh, whoa. That's a great literary device. But don't you think that we should be investigating it?
We did investigate it, and there's also a bunch of other we've had other targets that
she's getting her talking points from Axelrod there, you can tell.
And there's been, I think, over 130 since 2001. So, yes, I think it should be investigated, and I hope it doesn't happen again. It was horrible.
Uh-huh. And are you what about the administration shutting down access to Benghazi survivors, as it says on the front page of humanevents.com today?
I'm not aware of that story.
That's convenient. Okay. So let's just get back to your piece here. You know that we have unemployment payouts since 2008 are at a record level. The federal government, through our tax dollars, has paid $252 billion in benefits during the recession. So how much more are we going to have to pay for poor people?
Well, unemployment is not a benefit. I mean, you pay into – when you are employed and you are paying into unemployment insurance, and then when you become unemployed by the virtue of it being insurance, then that's when you actually draw from those benefits. People who – like myself, who are independent contractors, I don't pay into it, and I also don't get out of it. So that's not a benefit for poor people. What we are paying, we have food stamps have spiked because we're in the middle of a great recession.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not out of it, mm-hmm. and people have lost their jobs.
So you don't think that if you're getting free food, you don't think that that's some type of disincentive? For instance, let me ask you this, Tina. If I was to give you a bunch of free food and then some free housing, free health care, free car, free cell phone, care of President Obama, then tell me, why would you go to work?
Well, let me turn this back on you. If you would take away my food, my housing, my health care, then what would I do?
Okay, well, who's taking it away?
You said you were.
No, I didn't say that. You said that. I said,
no,
if
said
I was to
you
give
were,
you.
You were to take those away. Right. So what do people who have nothing, what do they do?
Well, I mean, why do I have to pay for them?
Right. If there's,
if I'm working, why do I have to pay for them?
Because that's the basis of society. That's the basis of civilization, is having to pay for roads, is having to pay for people who are less fortunate.
That's what you say.
That's the whole basis of community, and that's the whole basis of civilization.
That's your vision. Why did the Soviet Union
actually
fall?
Actually, how that works.
Why did the Soviet Union fall?
That's actually a complicated question. Because they were spending all their money on nukes instead of feeding people.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true, actually. I don't think it is. And let me ask you this.
Hungry people are prone to doing desperate things. They want people to actually be fed.
Now your buddy, your best buddy in the world, Harry Reid, is trying to make the Senate vote on making it necessary for us to hire gay people. What's your take on that?
I think every American should be treated equally. It says it in the Constitution.
We don't have a law that forces employers to hire straight people, do we?
No, because straight people are not discriminated against for their sexuality, and they shouldn't be.
Well, but they're discriminated against other things. Maybe if I don't know how to do the job.
Right. That's not discrimination. That's incompetency. Completely different issue.
Well,
not
it's discriminating against my incompetence.
Yes.
Okay.
It's smart policy.
Oh, so there's you're just picking and choosing who you want to discriminate against. You like you want gay people to be hired.
By the basis of discrimination, that would
so
be a
So that's
true
the
statement.
Way you're doing.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Deuce.
And do you agree with Louis Farrakhan that Jews are evil?
I would say no.
Are you aware that Louis Farrakhan is friends with Reverend Wright?
I was not aware of that.
Okay, well, it's true. And are you aware that Reverend Wright was President Obama's priest?
Yes, I am aware that he was his priest.
Okay. So,
explain.
So, do you agree with those people?
No, I don't believe that I have to agree with everybody who I am friends with in order to be friends with them.
Oh, okay, so you're friends with Reverend Wright.
You're friends with Reverend Wright,
that.
Or is it Louis Farrakhan?
No, but I'm saying the principle of like trying to smear someone with someone who they met 20 years ago or someone who's a friend of a friend is kind of an exhausting and fruitless pursuit.
Well, you're from New York, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on Wednesday this week, the New Yorker magazine printed something from David Denby where he wrote that Ted Cruz has large ears, a straight nose with a fleshy tip. How do you justify that? What if that was written about a Democrat or a Jewish person?
Right, and what if it was written by the Texas Monthly and I were in Houston?
Okay. You tell me. Would you agree with it?
probably not.
Right.
If it's not my byline,
so you denounce. You're denouncing the New Yorker.
That yeah, probably.
Okay, fair enough. At least you're consistent about it. It's nice to meet someone who is a lib and is principled. So that's good.
Principled. All right. Lib.
You ever? Did you condemn? Tom Daschle and Harry Reid calling President Bush Hitler. Did you condemn that too?
Who calls who Hitler?
Senator Reid and Senator Tom Daschle both called former Senator Daschle both called President Bush Hitler. We've documented that relentlessly on the show.
Yeah, I'm not in the business of denouncing every time someone uses a Hitler reference.
Dick Durbin called the FBI Nazis.
I think I would do nothing at all day long, except for denounce people.
Okay.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz made fun of Pat Robertson's voice. that wasn't very civil.
Yeah. Do you think we got hope and change?
Yeah. No, I think that, like, I think conservatives are the victims of history. I really do. I mean, you poor people, you know, it, like, at every turn, someone's just saying something mean, and, like, it's tragic what has happened to conservatives.
Okay.
See,
okay, now what you're doing is you're using your literary device again on us, but you say we're poor people, and then you're mocking us, so you clearly know that's the best way to deal with poor people. Getting back to your piece.
I know, I'm poor shaming. Oh, my God, it's a perfect circle.
Well, all right, I'm glad we could come to some agreement. See, I'll let you have the last word.
I'm a hypocrite. You won.
Okay. All right.
Well, she said it, folks.
Bingo Mosquito, going to see Bob's Burgers live tonight here in Seattle. There's one in L.A., I think, in a week or two as well. Hugo will be missed, or will he? Yes, he will be missed. All right, bear with me, folks.
Well, speaking of which,
I get to see Bob's Burgers live every day. Monday through Friday.
How did the event go last night with the Upright Citizens Brigade thing?
Well, it was a podcast. It was good. It was fun. You know,
hanging out with the youth. Does anyone there owe you money I can go collect for you? No, but I'll tell you what you should do, Bingo Mosquito, is you should carry a sign that says, "Where's Hugo?"
That would be hilarious.
You should carry that sign, hold it up at the beginning. Don't be disruptive in any way. Just do it once. Take a picture of it. Tweet it out. We got to get this going. Where's Hugo?
Let's start a campaign.
I haven't done one of those in months now.
Every Bob's Burger stop there is. There's got to be a Where's Hugo sign.
Well, there's L.A. I think they're only doing two of these live things.
Then the two of them have to have Where's Hugo sign.
Yeah. I don't even know why. I didn't even know why I even have to say that. That should be happening. People should be carrying around those signs even if they're not going to a Bob's Burgers event. Umar Shamsi.
It's amazing how Bob's Burgers just seems to just throw what seems to be the main antagonist of the show just under the bus, left and right. It's weird.
It's definitely weird. There's no doubt about it. It might lead one to believe they're trying to throw the show. I don't know why they would do that. But it is very suspicious.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
I want to do a shout out. Yesterday in our in the better half of the program, I take IMs. Occasionally people ask me about a myriad of things. No, always people ask me a myriad of things, but occasionally it has to do with work I do on Bob's Burgers, that animated show on Fox. And somebody said, "I'm going to the live Bob's Burgers in Seattle." And I said, and they said, "Are you going to be there?" And I said, "No, but you should carry a big sign that says where's Hugo." And, you know, this was not a campaign I was starting. It was just because I wanted to mess around with my friends who I knew would be on stage, and this was happening in Seattle. And I said, you know, take a picture and tweet it to me. This is just in the member show. And then, like, you know, I forgot about it because we didn't spend much time talking about it. And last night, to avoid my family, I went on Twitter just to see what was going on. All of a sudden, like, I got tweeted by, like, I don't know, 30 people with pictures of a sign that said, "Where's Hugo?" And there was a "Where's Hugo" hashtag. And then I look at my phone and John Benjamin, who plays Bob, you know, just to basically subsidize his work as the voice of the Majority Report that you hear at the beginning of the show every time, texted me a picture of like six or seven people in the front row holding the signs. So I haven't spoken to him, but I hope it disrupted the whole thing. Maybe we'll have him on the program tomorrow. See if I can get a report on that. But so I want to do a shout out to all those people. I appreciate the support. I was going to come on and say, you should do this when they do it in L.A. And then I just realized the invitation I get because they had a party. I should look at the invitation. That was 2 days ago. So I'm not on the ball with this stuff. I guess they did it Wednesday night in L.A. and then Thursday night in Seattle. But I want to thank you people. We got a lot of listeners out in Seattle.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
We will be talking to John Benjamin regarding the "Where's Hugo" controversy. John Benjamin, never known for being timely. We will try him again. John Benjamin, as you know, voice of the Majority Part, does those other shows. On the "Where's Hugo?" Hugo, of course, Bob's Burgers. John Benjamin on the Bob's Burgers tour. See if he answers now. I should just give out his number.
Hi, Joel. How are you doing? I hope this is going to be better for you, this message. Hope you're having a good day. Say hi to Elaine for me. Okay, bye.
John, it's Sam Cedar from the Majority Report.
We are we were calling about this whole Where's Hugo controversy and wanted to get your feedback. But apparently you're dodging our calls. I don't know what you're trying to hide. And I don't know why you're afraid to address this. But we won't stop. I just want you to know that. I'm not sure if there's any more of their so-called Bob's Burgers tour going on in the country. But if you think for a moment that the listeners of the Majority Report, that frankly America is going to let this go, you're wrong. So good day, and you can run, but you cannot hide. That's John Benjamin, folks. I don't know what this is going to do to our movie pick of the week, but this is a good time, maybe, to play. What, you couldn't find anything?
No.
Couldn't even find, like, a clip from Bob's Burgers or something?
There's no clips up because they're very hardcore about making sure the full episodes are on Hulu.
Really?
So, like, I can't even find a clip on YouTube or anything.
All right. What about from Archer?
I'm looking.
What about from Home Movies?
It's hard to tell which...
Dr. Katz!
Wow, look how big and empty the parking lot is, huh?
What are you talking about?
What do you say you get behind the wheel?
I'm not
so
in
what
the car,
do I do
John.
Behind the wheel? Wait,
drive.
Is that legal?
No, but my father let me drive when
this
I was...
This was an idea we had just literally during the break.
Was that Bob's Burgers?
That was Bob's Burgers, yes.
All right. Hello?
Sam?
Oh, well, look who has decided to show up. Look who's decided to show his face, not literally, because it's...
I'm not showing my face, but I am calling, and I've had, you know, I wasn't aware of that this was a such a big deal until I heard all your messages this morning.
John...
But I'm on Pacific Coast time, so it's a little earlier.
Well, right now it's 10 o'clock Pacific Coast time.
I got up and received all your calls.
It's 10 o'clock Pacific Coast time, John. I mean, so, you know, you can run, but you can't hide.
I wasn't hiding.
Well,
I was not hiding at all. I personally, whatever scenario you think happened, I think is not even blown out of proportion. I think it's just a beehive of lies.
A beehive of lies. Well, do tell.
Yeah.
Please.
Created by
Queen
you
Bee.
For some, I don't know for what reason. I assume self-promotion.
Well, what is the beehive of lies, John?
Well, why don't you tell me what you're angry about, and then I can respond with the truth and the perspective that it needs.
Well, first off, why don't you answer the question? Where's Hugo? I mean, there was a lot of people in your audience in Seattle who wanted to know, and as far as I know, you just completely stonewalled the question.
Well, I think this gives credibility to every conspiracy theory out there, then, because from what I gather, you instructed one person to print out many, many mimeographed copies of the Where Is Hugo sign.
I did no such thing, sir.
Hold those signs up. Therefore, you have one supporter that may, but that supporter made it look like you had over 11 supporters.
First off, I did no such thing. I never, never instructed anybody to print out anything.
Well, I don't know why the person
one
in
sign,
the audience...
One sign.
I don't know why that one person would say that, then.
Well, I mean, you tell me. Why would random people hold up a sign at a unless they wanted the answer, the question answered?
I mean, you are now really becoming like the Karl Rove of animation.
What does that mean?
You know, you spread these, like, you create these untruths and make them look real, and it's all just a smokescreen. Then no one knows what's real anymore.
What is untrue about a question?
Like the guy from the guy who was the porn star who pretended to be in a news agency.
Jeff Gannon. Yeah.
You're like the Jeff Gannon of animation.
I'm the Jeff Gannon of animation.
And I think you've done gay pornography. I think that, is that true?
Not animated.
I never said animated gay pornography. I don't even know if that exists.
Well, I couldn't even be the, first of all, I'm sure it does. Second
does,
of all,
like
if I'm the Jeff
it.
Gannon of animation, then that would follow. My understanding is that one of the signs said, "Donde está Hugo?" The rest were in English. So why don't you explain how one person would know two different languages, Jeff?
Well, it did strike me as odd because I was in Seattle, and I don't think there's any Spanish-speaking people here.
Really? That is one of the most grotesque
English
statements
and American Indian.
I could imagine anyone
know,
to say.
But I don't know the area that well.
No, apparently not.
Yeah. But I think it was also just another way by which you try and create this fake false reality. Try to make it more real by adding another language. I think that's probably what it was.
So you're suggesting that somehow I have the tentacles to reach all the way to Seattle?
Well, there is the internet now.
Right?
So I think you sent out a message on the internet to somebody. And
activated
a
sleeper cell of Hugo supporters in Seattle. That's what you say.
I think it was in bad taste, and that's what I thought right away when I saw it. I smelled a rat instantly from the stage because we were in the middle of a show trying to do a show, so it was distracting.
Did the,
so basically, you were able to infiltrate somebody else's show and kind of ruin it for about, I don't know, like a split second, really, not that long.
Did people do this in a coordinated effort? I mean, I...
It put a bad taste in the mouth of the people who work on Bob's Burgers, the people who work in professional comedy, and for the people who work on the show.
Really?
So I think it backfires.
Really? Well, yeah. Do tell. I would like to know whose bad mouth taste was.
I know
was.
The creator of Bob's Burgers was irate about what you did.
You're suggesting that Lauren Bouchard was irate about it?
I think so, yeah.
All right, so what's he going to do? Give Hugo less airtime? How does that happen? Does he go back and re-edit the shows?
I think you have to look to yourself about and ask the question in the mirror, where is Hugo? Not do it the way you're doing it.
Well, John, I got news
and
for you.
I think it's time for your production team and all those people there to maybe, I don't know, sit you down and intervene.
Oh, really? Well, I'm not quite convinced
that
they weren't
like,
more responsible for it, frankly.
Beyond the pale, and you've crossed a boundary you shouldn't have crossed.
Maybe I should intervene with them, John.
I don't know, buddy. If you want this battle, I'm happy to take it on, and I'm happy to rally my forces against any possibility of Hugo ever being a part of anything ever again.
What forces do you have? Well, who are your anti-Hugo forces that you claim to have?
I do have to say, I was like at first, I was really confused that people were holding up. Where is Hugo, son?
No more confused than I. I mentioned it once to one person. I had no idea.
You wrote one guy. I know you did. I know that's how you operate.
What's that? I didn't write to anybody. I wasn't sending mass emails to everybody in Seattle. If you happen to be a Hugo fan and happen to be going to this thing.
There are no Hugo fans.
Well, then how did they all know? Let me ask you this, John. How did they all know to tweet me?
It is my understanding that there are no Hugo fans. I think you...
You answer that question. If it was just one person, how come I got tweets from 30 people?
I checked afterwards with the seating chart to see if those first 11 people in the first row were connected to each other. They were not.
All right, so... That bolsters my case.
They didn't come together. They didn't know each other.
That bolsters my case.
So how is it possible that one row all brought separately the same exact sign?
Hugo fan sites.
On 8x10.
Hugo fan sites.
Notebook paper.
Hugo fan sites. Maybe somebody put a PDF up there and everybody printed it out.
There's a Hugo fan site.
What?
There is?
What's that?
There's a Hugo fan site.
If you say so.
Because you would tell me about it.
It's I don't know what it is.
All right, but I'll look it up.
I bet you there is. I have no doubt. Right now, I have no doubt that there is somebody working on a Hugo fan site.
Okay, well, if there is a Hugo fan site, I'll expect to see more signs tonight when we do our show in Portland.
Oh, you're in Portland.
You know, we're in the area, and I assume people would drive, I don't know, how many number of miles, 500 to 1,000 miles to support Hugo again.
You're in Portland. You're in Portland tonight.
That's right.
And you're doing a show, and you are now asking for people to bring Where's Hugo signs. Well,
I am not asking.
I think that can be arranged.
No, I am not asking that.
Can be arranged.
If we're to perpetuate this mythology,
good day, sir. Enjoy your show tonight. In the event that you can hold it from the sea of Hugo, Where's Hugo signs.
Yeah, I'm not in any way advocating people to bring anything involving Hugo. But
oh, really?
Didn't you just throw down the gauntlet? Like an iota more.
All right. Well, we'll see, John.
Yeah.
All right.
Bring it on.
You know, you bring it on. If somebody brings a sign there, you bring it on.
Yeah, you know I will.
All right. Good. Good day, John.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks. There it is. Let's get that out. Let's tweet that out.
Now, if you're a listener of the show and you live in Portland and are attending the Bob's Burgers event tonight.
Absolutely, of course. John Benjamin's going to lay down that gauntlet. He will feel the full force of our force. And look, I wouldn't even print out 8x11 signs. I would do legal size. 8x14. Where's Hugo things?
The Majority Report. With Sam Cedar.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob. For all the Hugo fans out there that I know are. Bingo Mosquito, where is the Hugo campaign? The Where is Hugo campaign exceeded expectations. Of course, expectations are subjective and relative. I had fun, though. Any next steps for Team Hugo? We got let down by the people in Portland and the subsequent cities. Bingo Mosquito was amazing. And I want to give you one of these, buddy, because that made my day. Now, the fascinating thing about this clip from Louis Gohmert, where he says, well, can we play this part back? Louis Gohmert is making the case that if you teach kids sex ed, it is equivalent to what he learned in the Soviet Union about how the Soviets would take away children from parents if they were not right in the head or teaching the kids the right thing, and they would give them to other parents. Let's play that one clip, because this is fascinating to learn about Louis Gohmert.
The summer that I was an exchange student of the Soviet Union back in the 70s, and I was shocked when they were saying no.
So there you have it, folks. Louis Gohmert apparently spent his summers in the Soviet Union. Nothing is more instructive about Louis Gohmert than that clip, because I think what we're seeing is the revelation here is clear. Louis Gohmert, obviously some type of Soviet mole. Or I think this is something we have to seriously consider. It would explain the entire Tea Party phenomena.
How?
Something to the effect of, like, Comrade Gohmert. We will send you back to America. You will become something called the Tea Party. The what? The Tea Party? Well, what will that do? You will spread all sorts of stupidity and try and make the United States government very stupid.
Well, I don't know. You think they're going to buy it? What kind of things would I do? You will tell them that they're taking away their parents if they learn to about sexuality and all sorts of other crazy-ass things.
Well, comrade, if you think it's the right thing to do, I guess I'll do it. It seems far-fetched to me. Don't worry. We have all sets of other people who will be... I want you to meet Comrade Bachman. She will aid you in this endeavor. We also have sent former Cuban dissidents in the form of Marco Rubio to be Tea Party as well. So wait a second. You're telling me that I'm going to be able to go back to America and in years from now be a congressman and say that I'm from a Tea Party and I'm going to what? Don't worry. We have a whole plan. Just continue on. We will send you a, we will call you. When you hear me call and say, woods are dark and deep. You have many miles to go before you sleep. That is when you will become activated. Whatever you say, comrade. Like I say, I'm willing to do your bidding if it will, of course, get rid of the evil Satan America.
We will call
they're
you Agent
imperialist Bun. Pigs over there, and I just so glad to have the opportunity to hang out with you, who all know that every child should be owned by the state. And I will do my best. Just take this little booklet here and meet my contact, Dick Army. According to the plan that you have set forward, comrade. Be safe. Be safe, Comrade Luri Gomert.
So that's the Soviet plan, is to literally, like, destroy us through internal stupidity.
This is. Wait till you see what George W. Bush will say about our fearless leader, Putin, many years from now. Oh, Herbert Walker Bush? No. His son. What?
Look,
the drunk guy?
I can believe a lot of things about
Come on now. Seriously? The drunk one. Not Jeb. You're talking about the drunk one. Believe me, Comrade Gomert. We have got this whole thing planned out. You're not going to believe it.
Oh my God.
All right. I can't wait to see that one. Yes. We have managed to do this whole plan.
We should definitely make sure we get to this Bill O'Reilly and Rick Santorum sound.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's play this now. I mean, this is stunning. I mean, Bill O'Reilly, we're watching the right now dealing with Mandela's legacy. And it is amazing how these guys trip all over themselves to seem even-handed and fair and still either say something astonishingly stupid or astonishingly mendacious. And fortunately for you, we have both in one clip. Here is Bill O'Reilly bringing the mendacity and Rick Santorum bringing the stupidity. Here it is.
Let me give you an example. Ideology has to really leave the building next year and in 2016, or you're going to have President Hillary Clinton. Nelson Mandela just died. I don't know whether you're aware, but 95 years old.
Yeah.
Nelson Mandela, I spent some time in South Africa. He was a communist, this man.
Yeah.
He was a communist, all right? But he was a great man. What he did for his people was stunning.
Pause it. Now, I don't want to. I'm sure Bill O'Reilly has spent some time in South Africa, at maybe even at a nice resort. Apparently, there they didn't have any books or newspapers or internet where he could look up and realize that Nelson Mandela was not only not a communist. Early on in his career,
he was quite adamant about keeping the communists out of any coalition, as well as Indians, in his struggle. But even when he was the head of the ANC, he was not a communist, but continue.
Sacrifices that he made. He could have repudiated and got out of that prison. He wouldn't do it. He was a great man, but he was a communist. So, but I would never attack Nelson Mandela. I mean, I told Bishop Tutu I disagree with you and with Mr. Mandela, because Tutu's that way as well, but I respect you. So why can't you guys in the Republican Party bring that to the fore?
Well, Nelson Pause Mandela stuff.
Now, I'm not clear what that to the fore is, but I think what Bill O'Reilly is saying, I'm trying to reposition myself based upon the memo we got to make it sound like we're not an apparatus of the Republican Party. So what do you say? I'll let you have the last word, Rick Santorum.
Stood up against a great injustice and was willing to pay a huge price for that. And that's the reason he's mourned today, because of that struggle that he performed. But you're right. I mean, what he was advocating for was not necessarily the right answer, but he was fighting against some great injustice. And I would make the argument that, you know, we have a great injustice going on right now in this country with an ever increasing size of government that is taking over and controlling people's lives. And Obamacare is front and center in that. And
there you have it, folks. Obamacare is like apartheid. Obamacare is like the repression, literal repression, of the majority of Americans. Americans under Obamacare, a vast majority of them, can't eat in the same restaurants, must live in slums, can't have access to the natural resources of their country, cannot have an equal vote, cannot have... I mean, that's what Obamacare is for Rick Santorum, because he's so, so stupid. Yeah, you want to do Mandela?
It was like in Santorum's mind, Mandela comes out and he's like, of all of the injustices in the world, that could remind me of the struggle against apartheid, the delivery of health care through a private market mechanism, none could face the same level of injustice and tyranny that Americans face by having an inconvenient website. So that they are covered in a catastrophic situation. You should fight this.
Now, I want to know, when's Rick Santorum going to go into prison for 27 years to fight this? Unbelievable.
The names Santorum, Gingrich, and other heroes of the struggle... against the slightly expanded Medicaid. You will go down in history along with Otto Vertombo, Walter Sisulu, and other great comrades who have fought an evil injustice.
How demented are these people?
So
it's
demented.
It's so much better if they could just say Mandela was a communist. Screw him.
Oh.
I mean, like, my God.
Right. You could see Santorum walking off the set and going to his aide or whatever it is, going, I should have just said, you know, the guy was a communist. I blew that one. I mean, I blew that one.
Just stuck with Marxist Rick.
I mean, Bill O'Reilly was leading me right there. Why did I?
I don't know why I did that. I screwed that one up. Let's
check out Christmas Candle.
Can you get me on get me on.
They're not trying to rob the children of a happy Christmas. The only thing you can do is buy gold at this point.
Can you get me on PTN? Can you get me on one of those shows? I'll talk about abortion again or something like that. I don't.
There's conservative Mandela. They want to take his legacy. There you go. Buy gold.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
The Majority Report.
You know, sometimes, folks, you are faced with a dilemma, all right, where your innate sense of what is right and just conflicts with your innate sense of what raised you.
Of what is retarded.
Of what is, yeah, of what is just frickin' bull crap. All right? So I got an inner conflict. It's Worcester versus my a-hole radar. So this story, it's all over the place. Apparently, there's a conservative podcast. I know where I stand on that. Called Granite's Grok Talk or whatever. So on Saturday, New Hampshire State Representative J.R. Hall, or whatever, had this to say when he heard that Scotty B., Scott Brown, from Massachusetts, is thinking about running for senator up in New Hampshire. Now, already that's a dilemma for me, because I'm like, hey, buttface. What's wrong with Massachusetts? You got to move up to New Hampshire? And then on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, but New Hampshire's my favorite place to go for a Packy run on Sunday, even though I think they got rid of some of the blue laws in Massachusetts now. So I'm already conflicted there. And then I'm thinking, all right, Scott Brown, he's got a sweet-ass pickup and an IROC Z, I think. But he's still an a-hole. But he's my a-hole. My M-A-hole, if you will. Because when this Representative J.R. Hole, or whatever, is asked on the Granite Grok Talk, or whatever it's called, Hole says about Scotty B. running for senator up there, I'm never going to tell a person not to carry a firearm. I will recommend people carry firearms concealed. Tactically, it's a better solution. It doesn't make you out to be a target. In terms of messaging to the media, if you're carrying it concealed versus carrying an AR-15 or AR-10 slung over your back, it's a lot easier to make the statement, quote, we're not here to threaten anybody. We're just standing on our own soapbox as opposed to standing with our ammo box in hand to make a point politically. Now, look. I don't know what the frick this dude's talking about. But he goes on to say, the message needs to get out there that Scott Brown does not represent New Hampshire. If things continue the way they are, there may be a day or a time when firearms and ammo are necessary. It happened in the Revolutionary War. I'd like to think we're not there yet. But as things continue to unravel, that may be the next step. Let's stand on our soapbox this time. First off, let me say this to this guy. You can't get there from here. Second of all, F you, buddy. If you want to go, it's go time. Massachusetts versus New Hampshire will meet you on the state line.
I will literally go off of work for 3 weeks to settle this. And what did New Hampshire ever do to help us win the Revolutionary War?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Where were you guys?
Where were you?
Sitting up in your freaking huts up there.
Talking about not paying taxes or something.
Yeah. Right.
Trying to make bad ski trails that are worse than Vermont.
Here's the deal. First, we're all going to meet in that packy store right on the border on 93.
Exactly.
Okay? Everybody in the parking lot after the place is closed so the cops don't come out and stop this. Is this skin on skin or maybe you can bring bats? Okay? A. B. After I beat the crap out of you freaking losers, hello, from New Hampshire, then I'm going to turn around and I'll probably beat the crap out of Scott Brown. What do you think about that?
You beat Scott after that settled.
All right, yeah. So
Scott second.
Scott,
New Hampshire
we fight
first.
After we beat the crap out of these New Hampshire pussies,
then
we turn around and we beat the crap out of Scott Brown.
It's like, yeah, I guess you lost some of your form when you're hanging out with kings and queens, you freaking punk.
Yeah. Frickin' losers. It's like the loser dome up there.
I want to reclaim that package store, too.
Yeah.
I want that in Massachusetts. We're just going to slice that back for us.
That's right.
They don't deserve it.
That package store is going to secede from New Hampshire. Going to have to cross a border patrol to get that.
You don't want to pay taxes. You want to date your cousin, whatever. Do it in your own free time. But as soon as you go after Scott Brown, then you got another proposition.
That's right.
And then after we've gone through him with you, then we take Scott on.
That's right. You don't challenge our a-hole. We do that. Clean up your own backyard, okay?
Clean up your own chicken huts.
That's
whatever
right.
You got in your backyard, you losers.
Why don't you go and go spend some time at Portsmouth?
yeah. I've been waiting.
That
so
isn't
long.
Even a joke. I actually always insist on that. Yeah. Every time I'm around somebody, I'm always like, "Yeah, Portsmouth. It's a nice little town you got there."
Yeah. Shame if something happened to Portsmouth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I rip up the cobblestone a little bit?
Oh, this is
poor
so
baby.
Whoopie-doo.
Oh, you poor man's imitation of Boston. Did I do something to it? Oh.
Why don't you get a city that's even two-thirds the size of Worcester, all right? Oh, look at us. We got a submarine. It's not even in the water. She's sitting on the side of a road at a rest stop. How far is that going to go? Oh, Portsmouth is protecting us with your submarine that's landlocked. Give me a break, dude.
If the North Koreans ever come, they won't have a problem in Portsmouth.
That's right.
I'm going to show you that. Some of those guys look like Taliban guys.
Yeah.
They don't even shower.
No, if the North Koreans land like they do in Red Dawn.
That movie's awesome, by
and
the
they
way.
And they drop into, let's say, Manchester and try and make their way to the water, then the sub might stop them. Because to get to the water, you need to go between you and this submarine that we don't have in the water. All right, 646-257-3920 is the number. God, we were waiting so long to do that one.
I feel like I miss out a little bit every time you guys do the mass hole shtick.
Yeah, poor Matt is just sitting over there. He looks like he's lost.
I had to look up what a packy run was the first time you guys mentioned it.
What I think is good, though, is that Massachusetts, I feel like, has this rep outside. Like, people think, like, oh, Boston, Harvard, that kind of thing. And there's this whole other thing in Massachusetts that people really...
Boston is the... Yeah. When people ask me about Boston, I say it is the number one place in the country where there are more guys wearing college shirts who will beat you up than anywhere else.
I was going to go do the bar exam, but I could just as easily put you in a coma, buddy.
Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community.
Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle.
I washed ashore out of the cold black river. My stepfather off the bridge. Oh, but when I walked home, everything was broken down and unfamiliar, like something awful had crept in. Well, I was gone,
wandering around my crumbling town. Doors boarded up and shops closed down. Dreams turned to nightmares. Look around, this is Pottersville.
I've gotta try so my daughter won't be left behind in Pottersville.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Happy holidays. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of year. It is the time of year when folks like myself wage a war on Christmas. And so, to celebrate my long-fought war on Christmas, I present to you my favorite clip from me doing television, at least specifically to deal with the war on Christmas. In fact, the only clip I've ever participated in on television that dealt with the war on Christmas. I can't imagine why I wasn't brought back onto television to talk about the war on Christmas. This is from 2005, CNN. Me with the head of the Concerned Women for America at that time, a man named Bob Knight. Enjoy.
Well, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, a Christmas tree or a holiday tree? Which should it be? Depends on whom you ask. We've seen controversy, most notably prompted by the White House. It sent out cards, this card, matter of fact, wishing a holiday season of hope and happiness. No mention of Christmas. Some thoughts now on the subject. Sam Teeter hosts the show Majority Report on Air America Radio. Bob Knight is the director of the Culture and Family Institute. It's affiliated with the Christian conservative organization Concerned Women for America. Gentlemen, great to have you with me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
All right, well, let's start with the holiday card. What do you think, Sam?
Well, listen, you know, as far as the war on Christmas goes, I feel like we should be waging a war on Christmas. I mean, I believe that Christmas, it's almost proven that Christmas has nuclear weapons, can be an imminent threat to this country, that they have operative ties with terrorists. And I believe that we should sacrifice thousands of American lives in pursuit of this war on Christmas and hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayer money.
Well, Sam, is it a war on Christmas, a war on Christians, a war on over political correctness, or just a lot of people with way too much time on their hands?
Well, I would say probably, if I was to be serious about it, too much time on their hands. But I'd like to get back to the operational ties between Santa Claus and Al-Qaeda.
I don't think that exists. Bob?
Well, we have
help
intelligence.
Me out here.
We have intelligence.
You,
we have intelligence.
You have intel. And where exactly does your intel come from?
Well, we have tortured an elf. And that's it's actually how we got the same information from Al Libby. That's exactly the same way the Bush administration got this info about the operational ties between Al-Qaeda and Saddam.
Okay, Bob Knight. Sam is tying in now the lack of information regarding weapons of mass destruction and somehow moving that into Santa Claus. Help me out here. What's going on? I mean, is this a war on Christians, a war on Christmas? Is this too much political correctness?
Yeah, it was very, first I want to compliment him on his dry humor, but this is actually a very serious subject because a lot of people are waking up to realize that the war on Christmas is really the culmination of a war on faith. And the idea that the public square has to be cleansed of any religious expression, particularly Christian religious expression. You know, at one time, Happy Holidays was a welcome addition to Merry Christmas, so you wouldn't say the same thing over and over again. But a lot of people now see it as a substitute, and it's very gratuitous at times. And it's actually insulting when you're talking about Christmas Day or a Christmas tree, and you can't bring yourself to use the word for fear of offending someone. In the name of diversity, we're a less free country when that happens.
It's interesting, Sam, because, I mean, this is a time where, if anything, we want to be even more sensitive to diversity, considering everything that's happening with regard to war on terror. We're learning so much more about different religions, different ethnicities, and trying to become more of one versus being segregated.
Yeah, well, Kara, I mean, listen, I would like Bob to tell me who is the person who has been offended by someone saying Merry Christmas to them. I've never met that person. I don't celebrate Christmas. But if someone says Merry Christmas to me, and I either think, well, it's a little bit odd. It's like me saying happy birthday to you on my birthday. But, you know, no one cares. But I'll tell you this. As we wage the war on the war on the war on the war on Christmas on our radio show, News Corp, Fox News, those people who have started this entire war on Christmas meme, fake war, they're having a holiday party. President Bush saying happy holidays, Tokyo Rose Laura Bush saying happy holidays to her dogs in the video. I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, these are the things that we should be talking about when we are waging this war in Iraq. We should be equating it to the war on Christmas. What else would Bob Knight have an opportunity to do? How else would he get on television if he wasn't pretending to be attacked? You know, this would be funny, except it is serious to a lot of people who have seen their faith cleansed from the public square systematically. Well, are you suggesting, Bob, that someone can't celebrate Christmas in America? I mean, tell me about the person who can escape these celebrations. Get a word in here.
Go ahead, Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm talking about things like in Ridgeway, Wisconsin, where the school children in the public school were told they couldn't sing Silent Night, so they substituted O Cold Night. You know, I think when you take Jesus out of anything, it gets pretty cold, so it's apt. But it's outrageous. They had children actually singing a bastardized version of Silent Night. Well, Bob, you see, this Christmas may come as a shock to you, Bob. Holiday trees. But I don't consider Jesus the Messiah. And so if you're going to ask me to praise Jesus, I'm going to be a little offended. Well, I'm now, I don't think the singing of the song, that you can find other songs to sing. So what about Silent Night? So because you're offended, none of those other kids can celebrate the great heritage of Christmas. I'm not the one who said they couldn't music. Do that. No, I'm not the See, one who said that. You're a Grinch, but sir. You're trying That's to force. All you are. Why are you trying to force conversions on people?
Let me ask you guys.
Yes, you are singing
sir.
A Christmas carol. Absolutely.
Let me ask you guys about the pressure that's been put on stores, for example. American Family Association called for the boycott of Target stores the weekend after Thanksgiving, accusing the chain of banning the phrase "Merry Christmas" from its stores, a charge that Target denies. Pressure from conservative groups look like it has an impact here. Complaints from the Catholic League. Walmart agreed to create a Christmas page on its website rather than a holiday page. And then Macy's, which is, you know, perhaps more closely associated with Christmas than any other retailer, sent activists a letter touting its use of Merry Christmas in ads and store windows after it was the target of a small-scale boycott last year. I mean, this is pretty amazing, all these boycotts of pressuring all these stores, these businesses, Bob.
Well, these businesses are taking millions and millions of dollars in from Christians in particular and others who celebrate Christmas, giving gifts in the name of the Christmas season, and yet they're so worried about offending people like my opponent here that they don't want to mention the word Christmas. People Bob, are sick and tired. It's the holiday time. I'm not your opponent. But well, I do agree with Bob. Yeah, you are. I do agree with Bob that I think what should happen is companies should calculate how much money they're getting from people who are celebrating Christmas and provide exactly that much amount of Merry Christmas, because that is exactly how I would want any type of religious holiday to be celebrated.
Would we be having the same argument about Hanukkah? I'm curious.
What, would we have the same Would argument about
Hanukkah? Hanukkah's not the same as Christmas. It's not a major holiday for one thing. And this is the Christmas season. No. That's why billions of dollars are really being spent. It's Christmas.
Well, it's also the winter solstice for a minute. Too.
I don't know, Bob. People just might argue that Hanukkah is just as big as Christmas.
Well, I would have to agree with Bob on that.
And none of them says Hanukkah's as big
as Christmas. No, Hanukkah is not a high holiday. Our high holidays are Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which I'm sure Bob has been protesting why there aren't more Yom Kippur sales or Rosh Hashanah sales. Well, I mean, why shouldn't they be, right, Bob?
Well, if that was associated with that holiday, then maybe I would join you, but it never has been.
Bob, have you ever protested Martin Luther King Day not being celebrated? I mean, do you resent when people don't say Happy Martin Luther King Day a month out in advance?
You know what?
Let's put this in perspective.
Bob, I want you to be able to respond. But what's interesting, the CNA USA Today Gallup poll, the question was, is it okay for people to say Merry Christmas? 88% said yes. 11% said no.
Yeah, well, 96% of Americans celebrate Christmas. So why would we care about the 4% that get offended by it? I don't know anybody who'd be offended by someone wishing someone a Merry Christmas.
Why do we care? Why are we making all the changes, Bob? I mean, we do.
Bob, where's the war?
Where are the
battle lines? I mean, you can tell me that Silent Night can't be sung in one school in Wisconsin.
That's just one example. That's not the totality.
The totality is 80. You brought it up. The totality is 88% of the American population has no problem with it. You don't care about the people who don't celebrate Christmas. Fine. But I don't celebrate Christmas, and I don't care. So why are we wasting everybody's time? It's so that you can fundraise. That's why, Bob.
I think that's the truth.
Bob, I got to let you have the final thought, Bob.
Okay. You know, when the Nazis moved into Austria in 1936...
Oh, that is offensive, Bob.
They immediately
removed
Christmas
Nazis
from the schools.
Hold on, Sam. Let Bob make his point. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Maria Trapp wrote the story of the Trapp Singers that's in The Sound of Music. And she said she sent her kids to school after the Nazis took over, and they came home and said, Mama, we can't say the word Christmas anymore. It's now winter holiday. I think that ought to disturb people
that we're moving toward
that kind of attitude in this country.
The Puritans also outlawed Christmas. The founding fathers of this country would fine you in Massachusetts if you celebrated Christmas at the beginning. So don't talk about Nazis, Bob. I think that's really inappropriate. Why do you have to bring hate to this Christmas and holiday season?
Frost.
That's so sad, Bob.
Well, it's the truth.
Sad.
You ought to read the book yourself.
Well, Bob, it's just sad that you have to raise Nazis when you're talking about Christmas and the holiday season. And we all know that Christmas actually, Tannenbaum, it's a German holiday. Bob, I'm really, really disappointed in you.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but if you can't understand the force of history...
To bring
I'm
up
not,
Nazis,
I'm not
Bob?
You a Nazi.
Oh, God. Oh, who are you calling a Nazi?
Gentlemen,
who are you calling a Nazi?
We got to let it there.
I'm not.
We could probably continue.
You are, sir.
Sam Cedar.
I'm offended.
Air America Radio.
You're certainly offended.
Bob Knight, Director of Culture and Family Institute. Gentlemen, obviously, it's a discussion. Everyone's talking about it, that is for sure. Or a lot of people are talking about it, I should say. Yes. Now I'm just curious, do I say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah?
I'd like to say Merry Christmas.
Don't cut and run from the war on Christmas.
Thanks, gentlemen. Talk to you later.
Thank you.